I'm here with political science visiting assistant professor Joel Sievert. Joel, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Joel, we're going to talk politics. Lots going on in this new congressional session. What's your overview of it?
Yeah, so it's, Trump campaigned on he was going to come in and he was going to get off to a fast start. And at least in terms of what Congress has been doing, that's not really been the case. So if you sort of compare this to where President Obama was 8 years ago, he had some key signature legislation that was passed very early on. We haven't seen that. It looked as if Republicans were going to start the process of repealing Obamacare, and they've sort of backed off on that. And it looks like now it's moved even away from repealing to we're just going to try to fix it. So some of the sort of things that it looked like we maybe get fast action on really haven't come to be. The nominations process has been much slower than other presidents, although it's starting to pick up. So just overall, it's kind of gotten off to a much slower start, I think, than certainly President Trump would have liked, but certainly than what Republicans were saying they were going to do.
Let's talk about Michael Flynn, National Security Advisor. 24 hours and he resigned. Even this is something that Democrats and Republicans seem to agree on, that there needs to be an investigation.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that it feels like every hour there's something new developing. So, of course, the newest breaking news was, turns out President Trump knew for weeks that Flynn had lied to the vice president. So it's one of those that's also kind of hard to know where this is going to end up because we keep getting new bits of information, which I think makes sense given sort of the nature of this this type of episode. But it does seem like right now, you know, so Jason Chaffetz, the chair of the House Oversight Committee, had said, you know, I don't see any need to hold oversight hearings. And I mentioned this to a colleague. He said, oh, but I just got a breaking news notification that both Democrats and Republicans in the Senate have said that they want an investigation. So it could be one of those situations where public pressure ends up being enough that we end up getting an investigation that maybe Republicans sort of didn't want, but their hand gets forced.
Do you think that, I want to go back to the Affordable Care Act, do you think that for this Congress, repealing and replacing was possible all in 2017, like the president had wanted?
Yeah, so the way that I describe this to my students, I'm actually teaching a course on legislative process right now, is that the process sets up what's procedurally possible, but that sometimes meets what's politically possible. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the Republicans ran into. There was a very easy procedural way for them to start the repeal process, but that ran up against the reality of, okay, if you inject uncertainty into this, into the insurance market, if you inject uncertainty just politically more generally, people get upset, and we're starting to see that. I mean, there are, you know, pretty safe Republicans who are getting asked very tough questions by what otherwise might be fairly conservative constituents who, you know, just the overall uncertainty makes them uncomfortable. And I think that's what we're running into, is they could have started repealing key aspects of it. But The reality of then, okay, well, we have to replace it is where they've sort of run into. And that's going to take compromise. That's not something you can just sort of do in the same sort of way you could have started the repeal process.
And this harkens back to 8 years ago when we saw there was real no compromise on the Affordable Care Act. It was just kind of a, let's do it, and it was never properly fixed. Do you think this Congress can fix it?
So that's one of the things that's interesting. So the narrative that sort of came out of, there was no compromise, this was just pushed on us. But there's also the flip side of, were Republicans willing to come to the table and negotiate? You know, there is some debate about whether or not this was still actually a Republican position, but one of the things that supporters always point to is, look, we took these ideas from Republican think tanks. We took ideas from Governor Romney, what he did in Massachusetts, And you weren't willing to negotiate and compromise on them. So we were willing to work with a foundation that Republicans had supported up to this point. So it sort of is a two-way street. You know, yes, they pushed it through, but Republicans weren't necessarily willing to come to the table. Now, they had a large enough majority. Would they have had to compromise on everything? Absolutely not. But the reality is, if we want to make any sorts of change, the Senate can't get it through without some sort of support from Democrats. And there probably are issues that could be addressed and could be fixed. And so I think at the end of the day, that's what we're going to have to try to find, is what is it that these moderate Democrats are willing to sign off on to actually get some sort of compromise?
And as we stand right now on the Affordable Care Act, the early executive order that was issued, basically it takes off some of those penalties from President Obama's Affordable Care Act. The Congressional Tax Oversight Committee, not wanting to see Donald Trump's tax returns, saying it's not a big deal.
So I think this is a great example of where we talk about sort of the role of norms. So there's no law mandating that presidential candidates have to release their taxes. It's just been a norm for the last 30 to 40 years. And that fits, I think, with a larger theme of what we're seeing right now. Donald Trump isn't necessarily wanting to go along with some of the norms if he can point to or he can say, look, this isn't required of me by law. And he's absolutely right. It's just sort of that larger question of, you know, the norms do play an important role, and should we be concerned that some of those norms are not being held to?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence about this. There's right the conspiracy theory side that sort of, you know, he's clearly hiding something, and that's why, you know, at this point, that part doesn't matter, and I don't know that, at least in terms of the election. But I think the longer term consequences, thinking about that norm, and do we just completely gut that norm? In general, especially after the wake of Watergate, there has been this push for more transparency. So each sort of norm that we chip away at that touches on this broader aspect of governmental transparency, I think that's where it starts to be concerning. And that's where, you know, we need to have a larger discussion that shouldn't be necessarily partisan, right? This should be a larger question because, you know, both sides, you know, at least in some point, value transparency. They tend to value it a lot more when they're in the minority than when they're in the majority. But, we generally see a value to it. So we should, you know, this is something we should probably genuinely be concerned about if we start undermining those sorts of norms.
And I could see where it would play a little bit more heavily on people. President Trump is not a politician. He's a businessman, a multi-billionaire with business dealings all over the world. So I know he's, you know, setting precedent by breaking his campaign promise and saying he's not going to show them. But is it a little bit more of a concern that he's a businessman and not a politician?
So this is actually something I have been thinking about in the sense that I think his business background may be an interesting way to think about this. Politicians tend to abide by norms in part, we might think, because they see a larger value to these. But I think one of the things that has made him as a businessman as well too is it doesn't seem like he always tended to stay by convention.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really get punished for that when he was in the business world. So I think some of that's what we're seeing that sort of come back to is, you know, he could be unconventional, he could do his own thing and have it his way in business and still be successful. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to work. You know, this is, you know, sort of the old adage, governing's not campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
This was something President Obama was attacked for. You know,
mm-hmm.
Great campaigner, can't govern.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a standard line of attack. And we're seeing some of that again. He can campaign really well, and those things might work in the campaign, but, you know, if you violate enough norms, if you push back against enough conventions, you may get pushback from your own party, and that's when you really start running into problems for achieving your larger policy goals.
Joel, I wish we had more time, but I do appreciate you stopping by. Come back anytime.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.